Well, good morning, everyone. It is really, really good to see you all this morning, and we are really, really blessed to be able to be together. I wanted to share with you just really momentarily as we're getting started. On Sunday, August the 10th, 5 to 7 p.m., here at Southern Hills, we're going to have a slip into school event. And so it's a back to school event. And of course, that slip into school thing, it's about bubbles. And Hannah's going to come and tell you a little bit more about some of her needs. But this involves like a bubble chamber kind of a thing. You got me.
Yeah, it's like bubbles everywhere that you can play in. It's like a foam party. It's just basically so you don't have to shower Elise that night. You can just bring her and she'll just...
We're definitely going to be there.
Be covered in bubbles.
Yeah.
And then you take her home, she's clean for Monday.
And I don't have to shower either,
right? That's right. And adults can get in too.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, while you're up here, I tell you what. We have a really cool problem, don't we? It's not a problem.
We have a great problem.
It's an opportunity.
We have a lot of kids coming to church. That's a great problem, right? And that does deserve a round of applause. So we're in the process of creating a second nursery room, refurbishing it, because we have so many young children coming to church. And so what that means is starting at the end of August, beginning of September, we're going to need at least double the amount of nursery volunteers that we have right now. And that's going to be during the 9:30 to 10:30 hour and from 10:45 on to noon during this worship hour. So today is Communion Sunday, which means I'm going to be here at the end of the service with our children. We'll come back for communion. And I'm bringing a notebook with me in my hand and a pen. And I want you to come and find me if you are interested in serving in our nursery, because we need to show these new families that are bringing their babies and toddlers and preschoolers with us that we can fill and staff our nursery with loving and able adults to care for our youngest members. Now, in addition to that, we're also launching Children's Sunday School in September. And we have had a little bit of a lapse with our Children's Sunday School the last couple of years. But due to all of these families beginning to come on Sundays, we want to reinvigorate that hour during our adult Sunday school hour. So what that means is I also need Sunday school teachers. And we have enough kids that I think we can even have two separate classes upstairs in addition to our two nursery rooms. All of that to say, I'm bringing my notebook with me after communion, and I would like to fill up a page of email addresses and phone numbers of people who would love to serve either on a rotation as a Sunday school teacher for our elementary kids or in our nursery. And I know that Southern Hills, in the history of decades long, has a really wonderful reputation for the discipleship that you've offered to children, youth, and adults. I know that's true, even though I haven't been there that long. So I'm confident that this is not going to be a problem come Labor Day.
And
right?
If they want to help, it's not like they have to do it every Sunday necessarily, right?
We have a rotation, and I provide all of the materials and the supplies. I do a lot of the hard work. We just need people that are willing to come and love on and help disciple our kids and hold our babies.
So I'm so excited about this. I think, what was it, two Sundays ago, it was 18 children in nursery?
I think we had 16 go through the one nursery room on last Sunday.
We count eyeballs and ears too, but 16 kids.
That's why we need another nursery.
Yeah, so we're expanding our nursery. We're really, really excited about that.
So this is not a real problem. This is an opportunity for us, but don't make me come and find each one of you individually and ask you, just think and pray about this opportunity and let me know if you'd be willing to serve on a rotation for us with our kids.
Yeah, we're good at voluntolding people though. So
I can voluntold people too.
Yeah. So again, slip into school August 10th, 5 to 7.
Invite a neighbor.
Yeah, this is an opportunity to share your church family with others. I want to invite you to stand and let's greet one another and share the peace of Christ with each other. us join together in prayer. Jesus, we are so thankful for this place. And really, when we say this place, Lord, we really are saying these people, this church. And we sense so wonderfully so that this is a haven. It's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. It's a place of security. It's a place of joy. And we are so thankful for that gift that comes from you. And so, Jesus, we know for 2,000 years your Spirit has filled your church. And we know that your Spirit is here in this place. But perhaps not only as you're reaching out to us today, that you will help us to become even more aware of your presence in our lives. And remind us today, through the music and the reading of the scripture and through our reflection on scripture, that once again we'll remember the beautiful, beautiful story of redemption that echoes through history. These are our humble prayers of peace. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
As I look around at you and at the choir, I do feel welcomed. Your ministry is very, very good indeed. So I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Here in this place, there are no foreigners. Here in this worship, we seek only acceptance. Here in our lives, we yearn for no divisions.
For God dwells in each of us.
Come, let us worship in unity and love.
Thank you.
God delights in our singing and in our praise and adoration. Our Psalter lesson this morning is Psalm 146, and I invite you to respond accordingly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being.
Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
Their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their lands perish.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob.
Who
made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them.
Who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoner free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, from generation to generation.
Praise the Lord.
Be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message from Miss Hannah.
Good morning, my friends. Come on down. All right. How many of you like going on trips? It's summertime. Have any of you gone on a trip this summer? Yeah, where did you go on a trip? To the beach? Where'd you go on a trip? Disney? Anybody else? You like going on trips? Where'd you go on a trip? Yeah, like maybe going, we went on a hiking trip. We love to do stuff like this. I brought a backpack with me. What are some things that we like to bring with us when we go on trips? Sunscreen, yeah, great. Water, all good things. I brought a hat because, you know, it's been really hot this summer. I brought a towel, a hairbrush. We should always brush our hair even on trips, right? Let's see, a book. I brought a book with me. What other things do you bring? Tissues.
We bring tablets.
Tablets, yes, very important, yeah. Maybe some pajamas, right? Well, today we're going to be talking about, in today's scripture lesson in the service, we're going to be talking about a story about two ladies who went on a trip together, but they didn't get to go to Disney World, okay? That would be nice. But this is a story from the Bible about two women named Ruth and Naomi who are getting ready to go on a journey, kind of like we've been going on journeys this summer. Now, Naomi had lost everything. She had lost her husband. She had lost her two sons. She was kind of all alone, and all she had left was her two daughter-in-laws. And what that means is those were the women that had married her sons, so they were kind of like her daughters. And Naomi was all alone, and she told her daughter-in-laws, go and start your new lives. I will be fine. I can figure this out. I can go and take a journey home to where I grew up, where my family was. You stay here. And so her daughter-in-laws had to decide, should I stay here with all of my friends and the people that I know, or should I take a journey all the way somewhere far away where I don't know anybody, but I can help serve my mother-in-law? What do you think would be easier, to stay with your friends or to go somewhere new? Stay with your friends is really the easier thing, right? Not to go somewhere new and know everybody new. And let me tell you what Ruth said in the Bible. This is in the book of Ruth, which is in the Old Testament. When Naomi said, just stay, I'm going to go. You don't need to stay with me anymore. Ruth said, don't try to make me leave you and go back. Where you go, I'll go. Let's say that together. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Can we say that? Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wow. So instead of staying with her friends, Ruth told Naomi, I'll go with you, and I will help take care of you. And do you know what that's called? It's called caring, that's right, and it's called faithfulness. Faithfulness is staying by somebody's side even when it's hard. Have you ever stayed by somebody's side even when it's hard? Yeah. Why do you think that Ruth decided to stay with Naomi instead of just to stay with her friends? Why do you think she did that? Because she cared about her. That's exactly right. Has anybody ever stayed with you when you were sad or scared? Yeah? Like who? Like your sister? Yeah? Maybe your mom or dad? Who else? Your brother? Yeah, we all have people that stick with us even when we're sad or we're scared. And that's what Ruth did for Naomi. She showed faithfulness in staying with her even when she didn't have to do. And you know what? It shows God's love when she does things like that. And we can show God's love by being faithful to our family and our friends and the people around us. Okay? Let's say a prayer. We're going to go upstairs. Dear God, thank you for Ruth's example of being faithful. God, help us to stay even when it's hard, and help us to love just like you do, God. Help us to be a good friend. We love you, God, and pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, let's go upstairs.
As we have been walking through passages in the Old Testament this summer, one of the things that continues to strike me is the raw honesty in which people approach God. For some reason, I had become accustomed, I think, especially in a young age, to think that I needed to be perfect or present something before God could accept me. But that is so not the case. And as we come to pray this prayer of confession together, it reminds us that God loves us for who we are and yet wants to continue to refine us in his love. So in that spirit of honesty, let us go before the Lord together. O loving God, turn us once again to our interior lives, for we know we need not hide from you. Too often our habits hurt rather than help. Heal us, O God. Help us to receive love from others, especially when we least expect it. Help us to focus on what we have now, rather than what we left behind to follow Jesus. When we feel like strangers, welcome us into your loving embrace. When we try to ignore the stranger, give us the courage to reach out and to be a friend of Christ to them. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who went the distance and found you every step of the way. Amen. How good it is to be honest and to face our humanity in this sacred place. God loves us more than we could ever imagine, and God always stands ready to forgive us. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are the creator and sustainer of all things, every atom. And yet, you are mindful of us. As we gather for worship this morning, some of us come in joy. In celebration, others in fear, anxiety, or grief. Give us the wisdom to be your church, to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and to weep with those who are weeping, as you knit us both together despite our differences, both in life and where we might come from, but you knit us together into one unified community by your Spirit. There are some among us this morning who are sick, have fallen, are struggling from a mental health issue, an addiction, or are caring for someone in one of these needs. And we lift all of these needs to you, Lord, in a moment of silence and reflection. Lord, hear our prayer. Great physician, bring healing to these many needs in our community, those that we know and those that we do not, for you know them all. Lord, I am this morning thankful for your faithfulness to us. Even in the midst of our struggles and our doubts and our wrestling with you, your scriptures attest to your continual mercy on us. You're stooping to wrestle along with us, even as you did with your servant Jacob. We know now only in part, but you offer us yourself as a means by which we may know you more fully. And we long for the day when all things indeed will be restored, and we will know you as you fully know us. And as we wait, give us patience and wisdom and courage to lead us into the world to build your kingdom as we await its complete fulfillment. And in that same hope, we join in churches around the world in many nations and tongues, praying together as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll now invite our ushers to come and receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
We are so blessed to look upon this table and to know that you are here and that you have set a feast before us. We're so thankful for the worship and the music and the gift of your word and the stories of our lives and the lives of your people. And so, Lord, we respond to you with our tithes and offerings and the gift of our lives for your kingdom, for your work, O Lord, we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated.
Scripture lesson is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah and the other a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "But no," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know, in life, we often associate different names with different experiences or maybe even different movies or different shows, different stories of our life. And I wanted to play a little game with you this morning, okay? Now, I will say, probably some of our younger folks, you probably won't get it, but I'm sorry. Although I am making kind of a judgment too about some of folks my age or a little older, but hopefully you'll get it. So if I were to name a couple of names. Erlene Mandrell. Some of you got it, yeah. The next name, this will get it, I bet. Grandpa Jones. Yeah, see. And then, of course, Minnie Pearl. That gets everybody else, right? Minnie Pearl with that hat and the little label coming down, and oh my gosh, she was so funny. Now, Dad loved to watch Hee Haw. That's what this show was. And when I was a kid, I was like, "Dad, I hate this show. It's not any good." And Dad was just guffawing, you know. And I wanted to watch cartoons or something else. And no, I'm going to watch Hee Haw, son. Why don't you come and sit down with me? You might learn something, learn how to laugh. This is good stuff. So anyway, it is funny, though, how we take a name like Minnie Pearl, and we connect with that, a show and a laugh and her silliness and that hat, and it brings back all kinds of thoughts and memories. Well, in this particular passage, there are some names in here, too, that really should have kind of a mini pearl kind of experience for us or on us. It should create an image in our head. And so I'm going to kind of share some of those things. We were talking in between the services today. We actually have a Naomi in the choir. And So I was like, yeah, I mean, your name is really, really important, Naomi. That's a good name, there. But do you know how, like, in a movie, sometimes when a screenwriter is kind of writing the opening scenes of a movie, that often can be a time when they introduce the main characters of the film. And, you know, I'm thinking of some of my beloved films, like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, Star Wars and Princess Leia, that, you know, she was introduced pretty early on, and then Luke. Well, just like that, in this particular story, in this opening scene of this great cinematic event, well, we get the new character, we get the characters. And I'm going to play around with it a little bit. I'm going to suggest to you that Bethlehem is a character in this show as well, this movie. Bethlehem, its name means something, actually. And the tongue that this was written in, it is Beit Lahem, the house of bread. And the interesting thing is, in this story, and just, you know, the opening scene is coming here, and we find out that the house of bread has no bread. There's no bread on the tables. There's famine. So much so that this family that is at the center of our movie, well, they have to leave and go to Moab. But it gets even better. So the father's name of this family, Elimelech, his name means something too. Elimelech. Melech was one of those first vocabulary words I had in Hebrew class in seminary years ago. It's one of the few words I still remember by heart. And it means, El, God is the king. God is the king. And then come along Mahlon and Chilion. And here's, this is what I was telling you about Naomi. You know what their names mean? Sickly and death. Now, who would, Naomi, would you name your kids that? No, I mean, who would name their kids that? But here comes sickly and here comes death. I'm telling you, that's, or dead, I guess. But here are all of these characters. They moved to Moab. Elimelech, he dies pretty suddenly. But of course, there is this 10-year period of time where sickly and death, they hold on for a little while before they kick the bucket. And then, of course, all that is left is the women to take care of things. And it's interesting because that big, broad span of time is condensed down into itty-bitty eight little verses. It's not much of the whole big story of Ruth. So it makes you think, is Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, are they really the main characters? I would argue no. It's Naomi. Naomi. Because all of the other characters, they're killed off in the first scene. And Naomi, here she is, and she's with these two women, Orpah and Ruth. And this is a story above and beyond. If I were to just have you walk away from this morning with anything else, this is the story of the restoration of the fortunes of Naomi. She had gone through a lot. Famine, hunger, moving away from home, having her husband die, and then her two sons. I don't have a lot of time to kind of go into all of the cultural implications of that, but let's just sum it up and say this is not good for Naomi at all. It's really, really bad. Orpah goes back to her mother's house. Ruth, of course, as Hannah was saying, sticks with her in faithfulness, and off they go back to Judea and to Bethlehem. Now, this story is really, really important. One of the reasons why Parker and I chose it months and months and months ago as we were kind of looking at the summer is that we really wanted to have all of these different stories that spoke about the character of God and the nature of God and the faithfulness of God for God's people. And so Naomi's story is a little bit like an echo that we can hear from across the span of time, some 3,200 years ago, perhaps. And her story, along with so many others, like Abraham and Sarah, and like Job, who had his fortunes literally collapse, his life collapse around him. And he had this, as Parker was saying before our time of prayer, you know, he was pretty upfront with God, and he was like, I don't know about you, buddy. Let's go to town. And they had a conversation. But it's so much more than that, too. It's the stories of how Jesus went into the lives of people like those who had leprosy and other skin diseases and were pushed to live out on the fringes of society. It's the story of the woman who couldn't find a doctor to heal her. It's the story of the man whose friends brought him in on a mat to lay him down before Jesus through the roof so that he could walk again. It's all of these echoes, even of Paul, that horrific murderer and pursuer of the church, whose life was turned around and redeemed. It's a little bit like all of these echoes, or like going into a cave and hearing the drips and the voices of people echoing off the ceilings and the walls. Have you ever been in Mammoth Cave before? The one where they turn out all the lights for a minute or so, and it's absolutely pitch dark. But it's in that moment after you kind of take over your just alarm for a moment, and you kind of start thinking, oh, where was that pothole? Or was there any cliffs around me? I better just stay put where I'm at. After that, you start to listen a little bit, and you start hearing people whisper, and they talk. It echoes everywhere. And these stories about God's people, stories like Naomi's, are like these echoes in the cave. And it reminds us time and time again about the faithfulness of God. Now, there are times when we can doubt. There really, really are. I have to tell you, there's times when in our doubt we worry and we kind of wonder what's going on in the world. And this, please hear me. I am not making any political statement at all. But I have great worry over the world and its condition right now and all of the things that are going on. And I worry about my kids and what kind of world they're going to grow up in. I've lived most of my life. They've just begun. I worry. And I know the Bible says we're not to worry, but I got to tell you, part of being a pastor, I think, is just being honest with you. I've got those feelings, too. And I worry. And I wonder, will God be faithful to my generation? To your generation? To our children's generation. And the echoes remind us, yes, God will be. God will be faithful to us, whatever may come our way. And I got to tell you, those echoes mean so much to me because in the moments when I do get a little ramped up because I read the newspaper and I'm like, you know, I remember these stories and I remember God's faithfulness. I really, really do. To use maybe some of the language of my son's era, God is all in. He's all in for us. I was having lunch with one of our brothers this week here in the church, and one of the things that I shared with him was, I said, you know, it's really, really important to me that at Southern Hills, when people come into this sanctuary, that they feel peace here, that they feel love here, but peace too, that they get to take a break from the cacophony of everything that goes on outside of these walls. And yes, indeed, we're called to be ministers out in that cacophony. But doesn't it feel good to just spend some time with Jesus at his table and together to just have some faithful peace. And God always meets us here. Always. May I suggest to you that Holy Communion is also an echo. It's an echo that comes from 2,000 years ago when Jesus sat down at a table with a lot of imperfect people. They did not have their things together at all. One of them, Judas, would betray him. One would deny him. Many of them would scatter and hide. And yet, in his faithfulness, Jesus sat down with them and fed them. I'm reminded of what Paul said to the church of Colossae in Colossians 3:3. He said, "Our lives are hidden with Jesus in God." Our lives are hidden with Jesus in God. And I look at this table for a moment and I think about that, and I think about how for you and me, all of us together, the totality of our lives are right there, wrapped in the linens that cover Holy Communion, representing Jesus to us. The totality of our lives, Jesus has brought all of us to the Father when we come to his table. And I feel a sense of comfort when I think about that everything in my life, everything in our lives together are there, hidden with Jesus. And we are taken care of. We are with him. You know, I remember when I was a youth, often hearing at like different youth events and things like that, the speakers would often say, "You have to pursue God with all of your heart." And there is some truth to that. There really, really is. But one of the things that always kind of that did to me was in my heart was it really put a lot of pressure on me, because it was like, well, I gotta really go after God. I gotta move and push and push and push and go after God with all of everything that I've got. But you know what? Here's the thing about it. One of the things that I've learned as I've really kind of steeped myself in the Bible for my life, throughout my life and in my studies, is that most of the time, actually, God is the one who comes after us. And it's a very different way of viewing and thinking about our relationship with God. God coming after us. And the song that we sang, the first hymn, it is ascribing to that. It is announcing that to the world. The church's one foundation is who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are his new creation by what? Water and the Word. From heaven, here's the coming part. From heaven he came and sought her. See the movement there? It's not the other way around. From heaven he came to sought her to be his holy bride, and with his blood he bought her. And for her life he died. That's what is wrapped up at this table and in these cloths. I want to invite you to turn to page 13 and join me in Holy Communion. The Holy Communion liturgy there. And as I'm preparing the table, it is very, very important for me that everyone know that this is the Lord's table, and it is not my table or Southern Hills table, it's Jesus's, our Redeemer. And because of that, everyone here, even if you are a guest this morning for the very first time, you are welcome here. This is for you. We also have gluten-free elements too, if you just let your servers know, and they will get that for you, for your health. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. And lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks and praise to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people here on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection that you gave birth to the church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave the bread to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, working in your holy church, all honor and glory and power is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I want to invite those who will be serving today to come forward. The ushers will be helping each of you in how to come forward. We always start with the outer wings of the church. You'll be invited to go around the back and come down the center aisle. After the outer wings are served, the center wings, these two areas, you will be invited to come to the middle and down the center aisle and be served. Come. closing hymn, beautiful hymn. And as you sing the words today, I wonder if you might also sing them as if it were a creed that you were affirming out with your own voice and through music, the faithfulness of God. And so let us stand and sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" together as we go. Brothers and sisters, I pray that as you go from this place, having reflected upon the deep faithfulness of God in our lives, that you will be filled with joy, a deep joy that affirms and lets you know whatever might come in the world that is out there, that you are not alone, that God is with us, with you, and he will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. Ever. Those are the echoes of God's story that ring in our ears and in our heart. And I pray that it lifts up your spirit as you go from this place. This is my humble prayer and blessings. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.